Big week ahead, right? Elections tomorrow. I wonder how windy it's going to be. Going to have some coverage on that very important election, I know, especially given the downward spiral of our economy, and in fact, maybe I would say our country, over the past couple of years. But this week, we start to lean into Veterans Day as well. On the end of the week here on Friday, we'll talk more about that coming along here. But as we know, civilization, we've always held our military defenders and heroes in high regard. Are we putting our money where our mouth is? In that declaration that they're so important to us? We'll ask more specific questions regarding that. And then also a bit later on, you know, the Gibson factory right there in Bozeman, Montana. Yes, they've had a Gibson factory. Gibson's been around for 128 years. They got a new expansion. How about we talk some Gibson guitars later, too? Today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Oh, are we doing okay? Thank you, Cody. I don't know. You know, that whole daylight savings thing. I guess there's no sense complaining about it, but we may be dragging our we fell back. We had an extra hour of sleep, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm all goofed up. It's a little thing. What I hate is the fact that it's dark now when you get off work. So it's essentially dark when you go to work and dark when you get off work. Well, I guess that's just we just got to get over that. Hey, thanks for being here again. Two decades strong, working on three. Get right into this. A bit later on, as I mentioned, Gibson factory. Now, this should happen, okay? I had some troubling signs that it may not, but I think we've got J.C. Curley, James Curley, the president and CEO of Gibson. They're doing this... like a grand opening celebration this Wednesday, November 9th. Governor's going to be there, other public officials as well. And then I just want to talk, you know, that new factory and it continues to be, Bozeman continues to be a pretty good stronghold for Gibson. So that's a bit later on. First, let's welcome back on the air, Chris Engett, Grassroots Engagement Director with Concerned Veterans for America in Montana. He's a veteran of the United States Army, in fact, served 12 years. And one of those gentlemen who started at a very young age there, deployed to Afghanistan. He served with the 503rd Military Police Battalion there, and then a native Montana too. Chris, welcome back. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on, Tom.
Oh, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. As I said, we kind of lean into Veterans Day. I know we always say, I don't know if we always say, we do say thank you for your service. That's kind of becoming cliche anymore. Do the veterans still appreciate that?
They do. We absolutely do enjoy knowing that that our sacrifice means something to people.
Good. Then, because it means something when it comes out of our mouths, usually, too. Sometimes people just say it to say it. You know, it almost feels obligated now, doesn't it?
Right, for sure. But many veterans that also understand exactly what that means, especially here in Montana with having, you know, 10 to 12% of our population actually being veterans. Veterans play a large role in our families and our communities.
Oh yeah, and people will maybe misunderstand it all, but for out our years of a civilized society, we've always held our veterans or our public defenders in high regard.
Absolutely.
Do we do a fair enough job of that now?
We do. As far as the communities are involved, the amount of nonprofit organizations that are popping up around our country, we have 18,000 nonprofits dedicated specifically to veterans around our country. So our communities do care about our veterans, and we see people standing up, and we see these organizations standing up and trying to find some of the solutions to the problems that our veterans are facing. And some of those major barriers that veterans are facing in their lives actually stem from their military service, whether it's PTSD and those unseen illnesses or it's their actual physical injuries that prevent them from getting out of their house and living their life to the fullest extent. But we see these organizations standing up all over the place that want to find a solution to these problems, to get veterans back into their element and back into their communities where they can live that fulfilling life.
We just chatted briefly, and I heard a very disturbing statistic. I don't know. Talk about the veracity of it, but suicide prevention now needs to be much more of a focus in our veteran community.
Absolutely. Most people have heard of 22 a day. You see it plastered all over social media. You see it all over in the news. The VA's new report came out, and they're saying it's right around 16 to 17 veterans a day. But this organization called America's Warrior Partnership took 4 years to do this study in conjunction with Duke University, and they came to the conclusion that it's actually closer to 44 veterans a day that are committing suicide, more than twice what the VA is reporting. Not to say that the VA is reporting inaccurate, but just, you know, we understand that one veteran suicide is too many. And so whether it's one, whether it's 16, whether it's 44, those are very large numbers where veterans in our communities are committing suicide. If 44 is the number, that's the second leading cause of death in our veteran community.
Well, and that's why that number matters an awful lot, too. Like I said, if and maybe talk about the discrepancy there from low to high, but if the higher numbers, you know, are indicative of the community, then we're failing them.
Yeah, if 44 is the number, and if that's the number that we're looking at, there are a lot of veterans that are struggling with issues. And I remember the last time I was on, I talked about some of my story and some of my issues within the VA and dealing with my health care coming back from Afghanistan mm-hmm. after being hit by an RPG. And if that's the livelihood where veterans have to be drugged up on pain medication, mental health medication, all these different medications. For me, I was on 16 medications a day. And if that's my life at 27 years old and for the rest of my life, that's not a very hopeful outlook, and it is very bleak. And that's actually one of the reasons that Concerned Veterans for America is here, is because we want to reform the VA system where veterans get more choice within their health care. They don't have to jump through all the hoops and all the red tape and all the bureaucracy. If there's an issue that they're facing, that they can just get the help that they need so that they can find that passion in life again, instead of being stuck up, like for me, in my basement and not having any hope anymore. We want to bring that hope back to veterans by getting them taken care of as soon as we possibly can. And we're seeing wait time numbers in the VA are increasing drastically, where mental health appointments here in Billings, on average, you're going to wait 76 days to get a mental health appointment.
Chris Angett is with us, Grassroots Engagement Director with Concerned Veterans for America in Montana. Again, started to relay that story. We had him back on, I think it was like in mid-March or something a while ago, and you did talk about the injuries that you sustained. It was a rocket-propelled grenade attack and received the Purple Heart for it. And then understand, I think, I don't know, Chris, I mean, that experience in and of itself, you're probably still processing that in a lot of ways, but it seems like one of the things that came out of that processing is the fact that there's a fire underneath you now to help.
Absolutely. And there's so many people in our communities that want to help, and they're out there. And as veterans, one of the things that I would say to veterans is people want to help. They're not doing it so that they get the little mark saying, hey, we support veterans and that benefits them. They truly care. And if you are struggling, please reach out. Please talk to somebody. Suicide doesn't have to be an option, because there will always be hope.
Well, let's talk about, again, the veracity of those new numbers. I guess I'm sort of a numbers guy, but to go from what maybe was a perceived 16 to 22, and again, we're talking about where one is way too many, to possibly twice that number, what metrics was used in that report that you feel is either more accurate, or did they just be look at a group and say we need to count this and this over here because they are also leading into more veteran suicide?
Yeah, some of the numbers that they started using was they actually looked at every single suicide death certificate from multiple states and found that many death certificates weren't actually matched as a former service member. And so if they're not marked and matched as a former service member, those don't get sent to the VA to be a part of the number. And then there's also some discrepancy, and there's some arguing kind of back and forth on overdoses and drugs and different stuff like that as to whether those are actually classified as suicide. And so there is some stuff back and forth as far as, you know, is this actually accurate? Is this overdose an accurate suicide number? But either way, it's a veteran death, and somebody who is a member of our community, could be a father, a brother, a husband, a mother. And those are the, you know, when we look at this as a situation, as this is a human life and not just a number, like you said, one is too many.
How does that help us understand the true cost of war?
Oh my gosh. The true cost of war is so incredible. You can see numbers and statistics and all of that stuff as it flows around. You know, the wars in the Middle East have cost roughly $2 trillion over the last 20 years. In Afghanistan, $2 trillion in Iraq. And overall, they expect that it cost around $6 trillion. And we can look at those numbers, and those are outrageous numbers, but really doesn't bring it home until you're looking at a human life and seeing just how drastic their life has changed. I don't know many of my veteran brothers and sisters that came back from any of those conflicts the person that they were when they left. And so that changes the dynamic of their families, and it changes the dynamics of their marriage and their work relationships and everything within their communities. And so it's a far-reaching arm on exactly what these conflicts, whether it's in the Middle East or all across the world. We have troops in 159 countries, and so what that's going to do to our communities when our veteran brothers and sisters come home, there's drastic effects to that.
And we've been focused on those effects in a better way, I think. As concerned veterans for America, and we'll come on back after a break here and then have you talk about what, you know, what CVA is involved in. But I know that you've got some reforms in the veteran system that you're recommending, and obviously a big focus now on more resources into suicide prevention. And maybe it's just not more resources. You know, there may be new techniques that we need to cover too. So we'll take a short break and come on back with more. Chris Engett is with us, Grassroots Engagement Director with Concerned Veterans for America.
I'm Montana Supreme Court Justice Ingrid Gustafson. I've been a judge for 20 years, the last five on the Montana Supreme Court. I've spent my judicial career fighting to protect your constitutional rights. As we celebrate the anniversary of our Constitution, it disappoints me my opponent is working with people who want to get rid of it. Our Constitution commits to protecting, enhancing, and developing agriculture. We can't lose this way of life. Montana farmers and ranchers know better. Please re-elect me, Ingrid Gustafson, for the Montana Supreme Court.
Paid for by Gustafson for Justice, Billings, Montana.
Grand opening upcoming this week for a massive expansion of the acoustic facility for Gibson Guitars in Bozeman, Montana. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. It's actually huge business. That's a bit later on. Also, Don Elliott has headline news very shortly here from the Northern News Network. I'm Tom Schultz, and welcome back to Voices of Montana. Chris Engett with us again as we lean into Veterans Day. We have a special celebration upcoming on Friday. I'll talk more about that. But this Montana native, Chris Engett, is with us here as we kind of were relating his story a little bit. Now, as I say, very engaged, the grassroots engagement director, but very much engaged in helping our veteran communities, especially as they struggle with many, many issues that, you know, they're not unique to everybody, Chris. I think everybody at times will struggle with depression or hope or a lot of things. I mean, our struggles are going to be the same. What makes it different? What makes it different when it comes from the veteran side of things?
I think one of the things that makes it different coming from the veteran side of things is we kind of have this mentality, and we actually see it across Montana, even in the civilian world, this idea, this mentality of, you know, you got to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you got to drive on, you got to get stuff taken care of. And there is some reality to picking yourself up, dusting off, and moving forward. But many times getting the help that you need it from somebody else is what needs to actually happen. And finding a counselor, a therapist, reaching out to your brothers and sitting down and talking with them, being in that community where your mental health is important is something that actually we've seen when veterans get that help, suicide becomes less and less of an option. And it's the same even in the civilian world. When you get that kind of help, suicide becomes less of an option. But when you look at wait time numbers in Montana, where you go to the VA here in Billings and you ask to see a counselor, you ask to see somebody to talk about some of these issues and find a plan to move forward, and you have to wait almost 3 months just to be able to talk to somebody, that's a very long time to sit there and stew and think about these things that are going on and not have a plan and not know what to do.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's when somebody makes that decision to finally reach out, and if help is not more readily available, that's not very good care in that regard, because they can backtrack in a lot of ways. Is that what you see?
Absolutely. And we're actually seeing back in 2018, the Mission Act was passed that allowed veterans to get care in the community. It created some access standards. So if you had to wait more than 20 days for a primary care appointment or a mental health appointment within the VA, they were required to offer you care in the community. So you could find somebody within the community that could help you, and try to get that taken care of as soon as possible. And we saw in a couple of years right after the Mission Act was passed, we saw wait time numbers start to be reduced. And then with all the stuff with COVID, the hospitals and clinics closing down, nobody being able to be seen, we've actually seen that the VA hasn't fully reopened after the COVID pandemic, and they're rolling a lot of those standards back where they're not allowing veterans to get care in the community. And so we're seeing those wait time numbers drastically increase again. To some of those numbers that I was talking, it was like 76 days is the average wait time in Billings for a mental health appointment.
How is it around the rest of the state? We're heard on 17 stations statewide. How is it in the Flathead? How is it in Dillon, Montana? How is it along the High Line?
Yeah, well, up on the High Line, it's actually the wait time numbers up on the High Line are actually longer than they are in Billings. Helena actually has some of the best wait time numbers, but they're still outside of that access standards of 20 days. And up in the Flathead region, we actually have I have a coworker up there that he was talking to me yesterday that he had an appointment with the VA that he scheduled 3 months ago, and they called him and canceled it right before his appointment and pushed it out to the end of January. So now it's a 6 month wait for him there in Kalispell.
Is it a wait for a VA certified counselor or provider, or is it a wait for? Are they limited in this regard? I know the Missions Act opened those things up a little bit, but did it overlook what was needed when it came to mental health care?
I don't know if it necessarily overlooked what was needed. Some of the issues are actually stemming from the VA has put more policies in the middle of that authorization. So if you go to your provider and you request an appointment and they can't see you within that window, you automatically qualify for care in the community. But the VA has created another step in the middle of that. Instead of just giving you the authorization because you actually qualify for it, they're sending it over and asking if it's clinically appropriate for you to get this appointment. And they have a board that doesn't include your provider that decides whether it's clinically appropriate. And then based on that appropriateness, it gets denied or approved. And because of that new process that they put in there, that a lot of that wait time for care in the community appointments is actually stemming from the VA taking so long to get you your authorization.
What was their justification for that? It was just make sure they had a better handle on the money, because we can't throw money away, especially if we have all these issues we have to solve.
Right. And money seems to be the number one reason why they're doing it, is based on the cost.
I guess I get that too. Before we got another breakup coming here, but let's talk about what CVA is, Concerned Veterans for America, because one of the things that you just relayed was, I presume, you know, part of your reform proposals. But tell me about CVA, and then we'll get more into those reform proposals after a quick headline break.
With Montana News Headlines, I'm Don Elliott.
Cody,
just before midnight Saturday, Billings police responded to a...
Okay, I was going to have Chris answer that question on what CB. Can you get that back queued up again? Okay. We're doing a little bit of the sausage making here live on the air. And it was my fault. But Chris, tell us about CVA, and then we'll come back and peel into some more of these reforms.
Absolutely. Concerned Veterans for America is a grassroots organization made up of veterans and community members that truly care about our veterans and our veteran population across the country, and they want to see them thrive. And so our goal is to teach and train and help them understand exactly how important their voice is and give them an opportunity to use that voice to make those needed reforms and find that passion in their life again.
How long have you guys been around?
We've been around since 2012. We're in 9 or 10 states now. And we just continue to grow. We continue to show veterans exactly how important they are to our country.
And is it under Americans for Prosperity?
We do fall under the Americans for Prosperity organization. They are our sister organization, and help us quite a bit in our mission to take care of our veterans.
Yeah, I think that's a good group as well. All right, Chris, my apologies for the miscommunication there, but stand by because I want to talk more specifically about these reforms.
Prepare to be shocked. Our power bills are getting jacked up. We can thank special interest lobbyist and public service commissioner James Brown. Brown approved a $92 million increase in our utility bills in the middle of the worst inflation in decades. James Brown helps utilities boost their already huge profits. For Montana Supreme Court, thumbs down on lobbyist James Brown. But Justice Ingrid Gustafson is a much better choice. Gustafson is fair and impartial, a proven record of protecting our Montana constitutional rights, standing up for our public lands and streams. Gustafson, on our side, not the greedy corporate special interests. A justice, not a lobbyist. Justice Ingrid Gustafson for Supreme Court. Paid for by Montanans for Liberty and Justice, 32 South Ewing, number 304, Helena, Montana, 59601. Alan Smith, Treasurer.
Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. We ought to have a bit later here, James J.C. Curley, the president and CEO of Gibson, talking about their new factory expansion in the Bozeman area. Montana native Chris Engett is with us here, grassroots engagement director with Concerned Veterans for America. A lot of it focuses on resources, especially in Montana. It's difficult because you're talking about frontier medicine or rural medicine here. New numbers, or at least let's just call them indicators, that there's still a huge issue with suicide prevention in our veteran communities, and the CVA proposes a lot. And this is what I like about your organization, Chris, and as well as AFP, is that it's not just out there to point fingers at people. You guys do propose and advocate for a lot of reforms and you know, different positions. What do you think we need to do better in when it comes to veteran care, especially mental health?
I think the number one thing that we need to do is we need to actually pass what's called the GAPS Act. It's the Guaranteeing Healthcare Access to Personnel Who Served. And we talked about all those standards and with the Mission Act, the 20 days for primary care appointment, 28 days for specialty care appointment. Well, as the VA's rolled those back, we need to make sure that we hold the VA accountable. They can't roll those back anymore. And the GAPS Act actually does that. It takes all of those standards that were put into regulation with the Mission Act and codifies them into law so the VA can no longer roll those standards back. And so that'll be a first step in making sure that veterans get that quality care in a timely fashion, whether it's in the VA, outside the VA. We're very agnostic as far as that goes. Do you want to use the VA? Then use the VA. Do you not want to use the VA, or can they not get you in soon enough? Then find someplace in the community to get taken care of. And so that's the first step, and that's what we're working on here in Montana, is trying to get the GAPS Act passed. The second is a bill with Senator Marsha Blackburn, and it's called the Veteran Healthcare Freedom Act. And what it does is it actually sets up all of our healthcare a lot like the emergency room visits that we have. If you need to see the emergency room here in Billings because our VA doesn't have an emergency room, you can just go to Billings Clinic or St. Vincent and be seen, and the VA takes care of it. This sets a lot of your healthcare up that way instead of jumping through the hoops and waiting for those authorizations. If you need to see a counselor right now, find a counselor that can see you and go see them. Or if you need to see a cardiologist or a neurosurgeon or somebody that, that can take care of you, instead of waiting forever to get those authorizations, just go get it taken care of. And the sooner we can get these things taken care of, instead of dragging it out for years, the sooner veterans can actually take hold of their life, find what they're passionate about, find that fulfillment in life, and drive towards that, which is going to benefit them, their families, and their communities.
I have less than a minute here, and I wanted to talk about the conflict Ukraine-Russia, but we don't have time for it. With Veterans Day upcoming here on Friday, Chris, what can civilians do, or non-veterans? How can we truly express our appreciation?
Finding veterans, especially the ones that you know, and sharing with them exactly how important that they are to you. Not just thank you for your service, but being there when they're struggling, letting them know that I'm here for you no matter what it looks like, no matter the time of day, whatever happens, I'm here for you, and I'm going to be along for the ride because you are important to me is the number one thing that people in our communities can do. And if you want to be more involved in Concerned Veterans for America, you can definitely go to cv4a.org. We have a lot of these their information.
All right,
about the
Chris, thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate that. Thanks for what you do.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Over the past 30 years, Montana has consistently ranked in the nation's top five states for suicides. This is not a statistic to be proud of. Many factors contribute to this, like social isolation, increased access to firearms, and alcohol use as a coping mechanism. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services is making it easier for anyone to get help through the new crisis call or text line 988. Let's give Montana a better statistic to be known by. If you or someone you know needs help, dial 988.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Thanks for being here. Hope you're kicking it this Monday. It's fun to get out and hunt this weekend. Hope you did well, real, real well. We are leaning into Veterans Day a little bit later on. This in the week, Friday, we're going to actually be at Perkins Restaurant in the West End in Billings. The ownership of that restaurant there has, for a lot of years now, and I think we're probably talking about a dozen, have hosted free breakfasts for veterans on Veterans Morning. And last couple of years, we've gone over there with our partner, Scott Fredericks from Desert Mountain Broadcasting, and you know, we get on the air there very, very early, but we'll do our statewide show from there on Friday as well from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I can't quite get this lined up. And again, I had some reservations about it. The CEO and president of Gibson, J.C. Curley, was scheduled to be on today. But I just had some reservations that it was not going to happen. So I kept Chris Engett, who's with us again here, on the line. And because I know that there's a lot more to talk about. And perhaps we'll hear from J.C. Curley in just a little bit. That may come in. That's just kind of how it happens here. And, Chris, thanks for hanging through that break with us. And thanks for kind of extending that segment. Let's just go back to, again, with what reforms, I don't know if you've got some long-term goals where you're looking at, we need this, this, and this first, but it would be nice down the road if we did this. Go ahead.
Yeah, really looking at the Veterans Healthcare Freedom Act, that is a long-term goal for us because that is going to be something that's going to take us quite a while to get through Congress. There are quite a few sponsors, but it really hasn't made as much traction as we had hoped it would. And so that is one of our long-term goals. And what we really want to see transformed within the VA system is that veterans get to have that control over their healthcare. Instead of a bureaucracy, instead of these administrators making the decisions for their healthcare, that veterans get to have more of that choice. And they get to have more of that control because that's when they're actually going to see some of this stuff change for them within their healthcare.
And I know that you have proposed or at least discussed the ending of endless war, so to speak. And Is that still the case for CBA? I know Americans for Prosperity have come on. They're very strong in that position. Not to do it haphazardly like the Afghanistan withdrawal, but to really evaluate, why we have conflict and is the conflict necessary? And instead of, rushing into conflict, do we have any end game, an exit strategy? Let's look in that context at Ukraine and Russia. What's CBA's position on that?
Truly, our biggest position is that we need to have more oversight on exactly what's going on. If we're sending resources, we're sending military supplies and money, we need to have oversight into what's actually being done with those resources. Do we have a clear strategic goal? Is there something that's actually there that this is what we're hoping to accomplish? Within this conflict, but within any conflict, we should have those clearly defined goals of what we want to accomplish, something that we can always go back to and look at. Are we achieving these goals? Are we making progress? And if not, then we can reevaluate what we're doing and hopefully come to a better outcome. So we need to have a lot of that kind of stuff in place before we start to engage, especially across the global, these global conflicts. And so we want to see that in Ukraine, and we want to see those conversations opened up where our administration is trying to find a diplomatic end to this conflict and not trying to make it worse and not trying to inflate what's going on in order to have a false outcome. We want something that's actually going to be lasting.
I appreciate that as well. And thanks for staying on. We've got our next guest standing by. Chris, how can people get a hold of CVA, Concerned Veterans for America?
Absolutely. They can go to cv4a.org to find out more, or they can reach out at my phone number, 406-696-0443.
Good place to go to understand that organization. They host a lot of events. It is really grassroots engagement. They're not just out there pointing fingers. They have reforms and they have suggestions and they're advocating for them. And I think very, well thought out. So, Chris, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate you having me on.
Yep. Good talking with Chris again, Chris Engit. Let's move over to James J.C. Curley, who is the president and CEO of Gibson Guitars. And they've been in Bozeman for just the longest time. And they've been around for 128 years. There ain't nothing sweeter, really. James, by the way, thank you for being here. How you doing, sir?
Absolutely great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, I appreciate that. Do you guys just absolutely make the best guitars in the world, and you have for like 128 years?
Wow, we're coming out with that. I like that question.
I know.
I absolutely think we do. Yeah. I think, over time, as a musician guitarist myself, I play in a, whether you own a Gibson or aspire to own one, I think it's just over time, Gibson's become synonymous with just this amazing sound and tone played by, yes, the famous artists over time, but also the ones you might never hear of, but that appreciate the tone and the sound and the quality of a Gibson guitar. And, if guitars could talk, they would tell some cool stories. And if Gibson guitars could talk, there's a lot of great stories from Gibson guitars.
What do you guys do and I know everybody's going to have their different opinion about that as well, but you guys have stood the test of time in a lot of ways too. What's your secret, James? Give it up.
Yeah, I think, one of the secrets started in 1894 where Orville Gibson himself, he crafted the instruments, originally the Gibson Mandolin Company. And then as genres of music changed and fretted instruments changed, he was, really on the forefront of sound, but also tone, and then that look, just that refined, crafted look that you get from a Gibson guitar. And he had very specific parameters that he would put in place, that not just to show the beauty of a musical instrument, but also to get the best tone and the sound. So that came down to the wood selection. And then Gibson's been synonymous with this notion of a set neck, really creating like a one-piece guitar. And then our ability to understand how different woods come together. We had many innovations along the way. For instance, if you're a guitarist, you would know that the neck of a guitar is very specific to the sound and the feel. So we invented the truss rod that you could make the neck adjustable. And then And then, of course, with the advent of electric guitars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, over the last 100-plus years, Gibson's just been synonymous with being able to stay relevant in every genre along that journey.
Yeah, I mean, talk about that, because when you look at an old-time Gibson, and I've had a chance to pick one up and play them, you know, it's surprising how they might be lying around somebody's house, and they're not exactly sure of what it is they have there. But they stand the test of time, so to speak, and then they say that wood ages and makes the guitar sound better. Mm-hmm. Have you found that out? What's like the oldest Gibson you've played?
Oh, well, I actually personally own a 1917 harp guitar. That's that one with the 10 strings and then the 6 strings. And so, and it stood the test of time, but we have a lot of 30s and 40s. In fact, just this morning I was playing a 1952 J200. And there's just something about, I mean, yes, you can scientifically measure wood over time and the properties that would have with humidity dynamics, et cetera. But all of it is also, I think there's the science of aging, and there's also just the amazing art of aging. And to think about who played it and how it was set up and the way that we call this lacquer checking, where over time it just creates this amazing patina that it just feels comfortable. It's like your favorite pair of jeans. If you could just get it to that place where it's the only one you want. And our vision is really around like being the most relevant, but also the most played and the most loved. And that's what we're finding when people either own a new Gibson guitar or they find one that's been, to your point, that's been lying around, and all of a sudden with a little tender love and care can come back to life. It's amazing to see guitars sustain that much over time.
Yeah, it really is. I know we got just a couple of minutes, and I appreciate your time here. Let's talk about this expansion. Gibson first opened their doors in 1988, talk about why now you almost doubled the size there in Bozeman, Montana.
Yeah, well, I think what we found is we have our electric guitars are made in Nashville right here where I'm based in Music City, but Bozeman is just this amazing place to be able to find the craftsmanship that we need from our teams, but also access to amazing wood. And we've been there, like you said, since 88. And it was amazing. We call it we don't call it the factory. We call it the craftery. And so being able to craft that, but all of a sudden about 3 or 4 years ago, we recognized the potential for Gibson Acoustic was much bigger than we had originally, thought or had scaled to make. So we realized with a little bit of attention, some investment in Montana, we could almost double the size of that craft room. So we did about 2.5 years ago, we made the decision. And now literally this week it's completed. And we've been now making more amazing guitars. We've actually innovated. It's an innovation center. So we launched the new generation collection there. But we're also able to launch the elements of the Gibson Custom Shop for custom acoustics. Whereas before, with just the size and the space and this balance of being, sort of modern but crafted, we now have the perfect setup in Bozeman to actually take Gibson Acoustic to the next level, which is not just because we say it for business, but it's what our Gibson Acoustic fans want as well.
What is the next level for you guys then? Because you're at a pretty high level now.
Yeah, I think that the next level, what we're seeing, and certainly in our electric guitars, we have the custom shop here in Nashville, and it's the ability for people to actually dream about what would be their custom guitar. We call it a made to measure, so you could choose the wood, you could choose the neck profile. So we're going to move in that direction with acoustics, so someone can really think about their dream guitar, not from the historic past, but how they could dream it up for their own future. And so that's part of the program there, and also to start thinking about how do we innovate in guitars again. And there's the world has moved so far into quality through elements of automation that can help quality, but at the end every Gibson guitar they're all made in the USA are finished by hand and crafted by hand. So that's where we really need to get to.
Well, and that is I think that's what makes any kind of instrument special is when you put that much kind of care into it. Pop off with some names here. Who has helped make this move in Bozeman, Montana?
Well, first of all, let's give a shout out to the whole the city of Bozeman. We've been sort of had a great relationship, and as we sort of said, we want to make an investment. They were alongside with us every step of the way. So the great folks in Bozeman, Montana, our team there led by Josh Taborski, he's been waiting for this, you know, vision to turn into a reality, and the entire Gibson team there have been amazing. Also the team here in Nashville have been highly supportive because we see, we see the opportunity for Gibson to just keep, you know, making amazing guitars in Bozeman. So, and then of course, you know, we just love it. I love the state of Montana. I mean, the fact that we have this point in Nashville Music City, but we also have this craftery in Montana. It's just a perfect balance for us.
How many, we got like about a minute left here. And again, I really think you're coming on, James. How many people are playing guitar nowadays? Is it more? Is it less?
Well, through the craziness of COVID, you know, which was, you know, very real at the beginning, but people had a little bit of time. They said, I want to arrange my photos, learn how to cook or play music. And so many people turned to music and guitars, and we saw the surge. But the great thing about it is that they didn't just get in for a few weeks and get out. They stuck with it, with online lessons, with learning how to tune a guitar, playing a few chords. And now I think we've set up a whole generation of guitarists. You know, there's supposedly between 15 and 20 million people started playing. And so you take the existing players, you add those new players, and we can set them up on a lifetime journey. And you know, as much as we'd love them to always play at Gibson, there's many amazing choices, but just stay in guitar and make the guitar matter more in the future, which is a pretty good vision for all of us.
Yeah.
Make music matter more.
Yeah. No, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I would just encourage people that you don't have to know everything. You don't have to play it like the best player at the bar or whatever it is. You can get a lot of enjoyment out of it. You just have to put a little time into it. And that's what you're
sitting around and having access to it and learning a few chords and watching people's reaction and your own reaction. And, you know, and through those doors in Montana, we're going to have some of the best musical stars in the world who go there to actually work on their guitars, whether they're rock and roll, country, whether it's going to be, you know, lots of individuals coming through Bozeman, Montana to help us, you know, reimagine the future. But you can reimagine the future when you have an amazing, iconic past like Gibson does right there in Bozeman.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. One message here. I love Gibson guitar with a heart on it on our text line. Thank you, JC. Appreciate it very much.
Awesome. Thanks for your time, and take care.
Yep. Let's hit that break, okay. And back with more.
Is your alcohol or drug use starting to affect everyday life? Are you planning your day around your next drink? Are you hiding drinking or drug use from friends and family? These are common signs that your drinking or drug use might be part of a larger health challenge called addiction. Addiction is a chronic disease made worse by excessive use of alcohol or drugs. Most times, quitting on your own becomes impossible. That's where Rimrock can help. The largest facility in the region, Rimrock is ready to build you a custom roadmap to recovery. Rimrock has numerous treatment choices, including medical detoxification, inpatient treatment, residential living, and outpatient options. Rimrock offers a full-service mental health center designed to treat the whole person and continue with you after you leave treatment, including telehealth, wherever you might live. Start your recovery journey with Rimrock, and let's work together to create your roadmap to recovery. Call 800-227-3953 or visit rimrock.org.
I think that's pretty significant. A company like Gibson that's been around for all those years, been in Bozeman. They make their acoustic guitars. There are a lot of them, and they just doubled that. I mean, just, good job, Montanans. Way to do that. And good job, Gibson. And good job. Thank you guys for being here. Good job getting out and voting tomorrow. We will have, I wouldn't call it election coverage, but election day coverage. We'll continue through that. And then this week as well, more on our veterans across Montana. My thanks to Cody Ross, our in-studio engineer, and thank you again for being here. Appreciate that. So have a good one. You go out and kick it this Monday.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.